You're listening to the Loyalty Minute, the show that helps you build better customer loyalty and more valuable user engagement with your host, Rob Gallo.
Welcome, loyal listeners, to another episode of the Loyalty Minute. I'm your host, Rob Gallo, and today I'm super eager and excited to chat with Kate DeLeo. Kate is a brand architect and an author who has partnered with more than 200 organizations to craft the brand that brings more prospects to the table, more users who click, and more customers who buy. Welcome to the show, Kate. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Rob. It's a pleasure.
So a brand loyalist as you are and a brand architect, that's what we're going to unpack first. So
I love it.
Just to give our listeners some context about your background, maybe you could elaborate for a couple of minutes on who you are, where you are, came from, and what you're up to today.
That sounds great. So, you know, I'll be really candid. You know, I'm 36. I'm an older millennial. And I think like many older millennials, I've had a very zigzag career path getting where I am today. And I did not go to school for branding, believe it or not. I went to school to pursue a PhD in linguistic and cultural anthropology. And in the process of trying to pursue my graduate work, the market crashed. And when the market crashed, I had to make a very big decision. I had to make a decision and listen to the advice of a great professor who told me, listen, we do not know where this field of study is going to be. I recommend you get out, get a job, go pay off your debt. Yeah. And so, Rob, my career began by me leaving academia and taking a sales job. All right. And it was in my sales job where I was tasked with cold calling IT professionals to sell them $2,500 training classes. Now, by the way, if you're laughing, it's because that's like the worst job you could take, right? This is no IT person wants to be called, let alone sold, right? But here I am. I take this job, and it was in that job, Rob, that I discovered the power of brand. I realized that no matter all the sales scripts that they gave me, the beautiful list of leads, the drip marketing campaigns that they subscribe my leads to, it wasn't working. And I had to figure out a better way, a different way to, in 15 seconds, get somebody to take the next step with me. And so I really, in that role, experimented and really honed in on a formulaic approach of a 15-second, 20-second brand pitch that got somebody on the other end of the phone to go, okay, that's interesting. I want to have a conversation. And so, Rob, here I am. If you fast forward over the last decade, I was building brands on the side. I got recruited out to go build brands in corporate America and in the marketing agency world. And about 3 years, I took my side hustle and made it my official hustle. And so, yeah, I've worked with actually almost close to 300 companies globally and really helping them figure out, how do we cut through the noise? How do we create a message that actually develops what we call conversations that convert, that are value adding on both sides? And that's really the goal of my work, is really helping people create a brand message that actually creates value for both parties.
Great. All right, we're definitely going to unpack that. There's a lot to unpack there, because I think branding is probably the single most important thing that any company can do, because a brand leads to recognizable loyalty. So, like,
that's,
you know,
right.
I have a brand. So, before we get into the loyalty part, what does a brand mean to you? Like, what is a brand?
Well, a brand at the core essence of what a brand is it is the presence and promise of what your organization puts into the world. It is the first line of defense. It's the experience that somebody has when they interact with you, your products and services. And it is the emotional response. It is the message. It is the physical response that somebody has when they see and hear you and read your messaging to understand who are you and what you do, how you solve somebody's problem, and how you're different from the competition. That's brand.
Okay, so then let me ask you this then. We're starting from a clean slate, brand new, day one of a company. What's the first thing you do when you are looking to build a brand or help a company build a brand?
Well, you know, I think actually that what's fascinating, Rob, is the process is always the same, whether you've been in business 50 years or 5 minutes. Whenever you're looking at developing or enhancing or adjusting your brand, there's a couple big steps that you have to do before you put pen to paper to actually write the message. And so step one for anybody is, I think, actually taking stock and asking yourself, all right, well, I know what problems I think I solve for people, and I know why I got into business, and that's great, but hold on a second. as an organization, or let's say you're a solopreneur and you're building a personal brand, how does my brand show up in the world? What is my brand's personality and tone of voice? So here's the thing. To write a brand, to build a brand, you have to own who you are and how you show up in the world authentically. You can't worry about being like everybody else. Pepsi did not worry about being like Coke. Pepsi owned that they were Pepsi. All right. And so with that sentiment in mind, step one for anybody listening today is you have to ask yourself, what's my brand's tone of voice? What's my brand's personality? That's first and foremost, because ultimately, if you own how you show up in the world, you're going to attract people who like that and resonate with that, like attracts like. So that's step one. And then step two, Rob, is pivoting and looking at your audiences for a second and say, okay, well, again, before I can write a brand and come up with a cool tagline and all the things, hang on a second, who am I actually trying to reach and why? You know, there's this principle that great brands focus on the 70%. And what I mean by that is our tendency is to say, technically speaking, everybody can and shouldn't want to buy from me, but technically speaking, not everybody will. So the job of our brand is to actually hone in on the one or two, maybe three audiences who have the highest probability of purchasing for us, who need what we offer, who have the right characteristics and personality to be a great fit for our organization. And as long as we understand who those audiences are, we can do the final and third most important step to write a brand. And that is this, doing the analysis to really take stock of what is the heart pain I solve for those audiences? Not what products and services I provide, but saying, here's the heart pain I solve for you. Oh, by the way, how we do that are through these amazing products and services. So to recap, Rob, number one, know your tone of voice and personality and own it. Put a stake in the ground. Number two, you've got to be willing to also put a stake in the ground and decide who you're going after and who you're not going to go after. And then number three, with those audiences, analyzing and actually asking the question, what is the bottom level heart pain we solve for those audiences? If you can do those three things, you're ready to put pen to paper and actually write a brand.
So if a company doesn't necessarily solve a pain point, but yet has an inherent benefit, that seems to be a difficult brand to build. Meaning It's not me too. It's, hey, this is cool. But it's not my hair is on fire. I have to have this. It's,
right.
You know, this is a great feature of value add, but you don't get people running towards your brand unless you solve that pain point.
And that's right.
What do you have to create the pain point if there is none in the first place? Or you just have to, you know, that's difficult.
Well, cool,
and no one really needs it, then you don't have a business.
That's correct. I think you just answered your own question there. I think the reality is whether we like it or not, unless we're solving a specific pain, we may not have any business being in business with this particular product or service offering. You know, the thing is that customers buy from a place of pain. It's always this question when I work with startups who are going for their next round of funding and they walk in the door and they give their pitch to a venture capital firm and that VC looks at them and goes, hold on, are you a vitamin or are you a painkiller? Well, I think that's a great question for all of us. Are our products and services vitamins or painkillers? And if they're vitamins, I want to just throw this out here. You have two options. One, let those vitamins go die on the vine and go build a painkiller. Two, go evaluate that vitamin for a second and go, well, hang on a second. Is it a painkiller? And if so, why in the heck have we been selling this sucker as a vitamin for the last 10 years? Reposition it.
Yes.
If it really is a painkiller, bring it forth as a painkiller, not a nice to have.
Okay. So we're going to take a dynamic shift in this particular episode because
all right.
I have a company that my daughter and I started 4 years ago. And we got one client with it. And it is the greatest thing since sliced bread in my estimation. And other companies are using the same exact platform. We built a white label version of it, and it's great, but it's a value add. It's not my hair is on fire. It's not I have to have this. But anyone that uses it, sees it, and engages with it, loves it. So, but the catch-22 is we need to sort of position it, I think, differently, reposition it as it's solving a pain point, but we need to create that pain point.
Well, what's your product? What's your service?
All right. You're familiar with Ebates. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now it became Rakuten, where you buy stuff online and you earn cash back.
Right.
As a consumer.
Mm-hmm.
So we built a white label version. So every airline already has one of these platforms. So Southwest has Southwest Rapid Rewards online shopping mall. You can go shopping and you can earn Rapid Rewards points. American Airlines has the same thing. Barclays Bank has the same thing. Caesars has the same thing. In addition to playing in the casino, you can earn reward points by shopping at Walmart, Kmart, Home Depot, Best Buy. It's it's like an online shopping mall.
Okay.
And people make purchases through this, and those merchants pay a commission, and that commission comes in the form of loyalty points in, let's say, Caesars. So it's a closed loop system. So Southwest has their own version, right? Their own shopping mall. We built it specifically for the casino industry. That was the original target. We've since branched out to other verticals, and getting that platform into the hands of the people who would be the decision makers is easy, but then getting them to actually commit to it is tough because it doesn't solve the pain point of, you know, they already have their customer base. They don't need, they think they don't need the extra money that they're missing out on. But I consulted for Caesars Entertainment, and I'm under an NDA with them, and I was out in Las Vegas, and I saw the amount of money that they were making from their platform. And I said, this platform is making that amount of money? And she said, yeah. I said, holy crap, that's unbelievable. Now, granted, they have 55 million users in their database. And of those, only 5% are ever going to use this platform. But the numbers are exponential because it's even though only 5% use it, the volume is phenomenal on a yearly basis. So anyway, and Ebates was sold to Rakuten for $1 billion.
Right.
So there's just so much money in it. But I think we'll have to probably take that offline. Because
ultimately, when you think about these casinos and their patrons or their customers, right, I think the selling point comes down to what are these casinos not getting currently that they need to get? Is it more dollars per person per day when that person's physically there? Is it being top of mind and brand loyalty for their customers that say, I want to go back to Caesar's Palace? Is it, you know, what exactly are you solving? Is it a loyalty issue? Is it a dollars issue? Is it a repeat business issue? I think that's the thing that you've got to uncover. And how much are they willing to spend on that to get one person coming back 20 times versus one time, right? If loyalty programs hook you into being forever wanting to go back to Caesars, then it's worth it for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, there's a lot to unpack.
A lot to unpack there because you're really talking about customer cost per acquisition is what you're getting into.
Yeah. Well, these are customers that they already have that they're going to make more from and create a higher brand affinity because, like you said, they're being incentivized to think about their brand being top of mind, even though they're not at the casino at that given time. Right. And it works everywhere.
It does work everywhere, of course.
It's the same reason that most hotels and airlines have relationships with one another. Right. So stay here for 3 nights and you earn 3,000 bonus miles on Delta, you know, Hilton and Delta, I think, or Marriott and has deals with IHG, you know, so all those type of things. This is just a little bit bigger. But anyway, I digress.
I think we're asking a question around what's the critical importance of loyalty. I think what we're getting at here is for any organization, for any brand, why does loyalty matter? What does that mean for you? You know, for Caesars, why do they care so much about that? For the average consultant listening to this, why do you want loyalty? Is it for repeat business? Is it for referrals? What is it for? At the end of the day, let's just call a spade here for a second. Let's just call it out. Loyalty is all about revenue generation. Period. Full stop. And here's the deal with brand. And this is where brand comes into play with loyalty. Your brand is your path of least resistance to revenue. Your brand is the secret weapon of how you get more prospects to the table. of the right kind of prospects. If you don't have the right message that hits on a heart pain for somebody, they're not going to be loyal to you. They're not going to repeat buy from you. They're not going to refer to you. So having that message nailed down is quintessential for building loyalty with your customers and their friends and their family.
Okay. So then again, I know we talked about how to create loyalty from scratch or the brand, right? And because you need to position yourself as, you know, if you're a solopreneur, the expert in the industry. But if you're a business that's providing widgets or a service, you need to not only solve the pain point, but become part of that consumer's integrated lifestyle. Meaning they, if it's a lifestyle brand, people are have affinities to certain brands in the world. So let me ask you this. What's a brand as a consumer, okay, that you're a loyal fan of and why? And if you could answer like in the form of a story that would resonate with our listeners, would be great.
You know what brand I love? Trader Joe's. Okay. Can I tell you why I love Trader Joe's? Yeah, and I go there with my four young kids in tow all every weekend, right? And they're off we go. Like they're like little ducklings following behind me, those poor children. And in we go and we go shopping in Trader Joe's and I've got to pick up my basics. You know what I love about Trader Joe's? Trader Joe's absolutely does not care to be Whole Foods. They don't give a crap about Whole Foods. They don't even try to be Target. They don't try to be Walmart. They don't try to be your local grocer. Trader Joe's owns the space of only offering certain things for certain reasons to certain types of buyers. You look at their actual stock on their shelves. They don't have that much, do they? The store footprint is tiny.
Yeah.
And yet a Trader Joe's customer is the most loyal customer. You know why? Because they know that they can always show up in a Trader Joe's and have the exact same experience with workers, find the exact same products that they need at the exact same price. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Yeah. Trader Joe's is like your place to get the basics and get great basics at that. And so what I love when I think of consumer-facing brands are brands that just are sticky and tenacious in owning that. They know that they stick out like a sore thumb. They own that they stick out like a sore thumb and they're great at it. And they never try to be like the competition. That's excellent branding.
Yeah. And their prices on flowers is super cheap. And
I know. My husband goes there. He's like, here you go. I'm like, did you get these at Trader Joe's? He's like, yes, I did. So I'm like, well done. You know,
one around the corner from here. I'm in West Palm. And then there's a Whole Foods, you know, a quarter of a mile away, right around the corner. And the prices are obviously way different and they're way better at Trader Joe's. But you're right though. They do have like an eclectic set of brands that they carry. And I guess if you're accustomed to that, it makes it easy to repeat buy from them on a regular basis.
Trader Joe's knows their customer deeply. They know the heart pain of this customer. This is, they understand the psychographics of their customer. They're not looking for a customer who is decked out in Lululemon and spends $85 on a pair of yoga pants to go to Whole Foods. They want the mom who bought the Target yoga pants, has three kids in tow, has only 20 minutes to get in and get out, but she wants good quality stuff and gets her basics done that she knows she can't get anywhere else. That's who they're going after. And they understand the psychographics of that individual. And they've made a decision that they don't need to go after the Lululemon buyer.
Yeah.
Let Trader Joe's take the Lululemon buyer. We're going to make more money going after more Target moms than we ever would trying to go after Lululemon. And here's the principle of branding. You are not in the business of convincing. You are in the business of converting. So what that means for your organization is it's not your job to try and convince anybody and everybody to buy from you that the competition's going after. Au contraire. Your job is to convert the ones who directly resonate and love your spirit, your tenacity, your personality. They resonate with it. They like it. Like attracts like. And they know that you called out their heart pain, that you get them. Mm. And if you do a really good job just converting more of that type of buyer, just going after one group and knowing that group inside and out, what's going to happen to your revenue? What's going to happen to your market share? It's going to go through the roof.
And then keeping those customers is obviously the point of loyalty because it is six times more cost effective to retain an existing customer than it is to go out and find a new
one. That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, that's important. So let me ask you this, Kate, what does the future of loyalty look like in your mind?
I think the future of loyalty with brands and businesses really comes down to one thing: conversations. You know, we are really moving away from storytelling. You and I could go down a whole rabbit trail on this one, my friend, but I'm an anti-storyteller because I think storytelling, when we think of that in terms of branding, is really, it's just a one-way monologue. How does that exactly entice and engage your buyer and put them into the position of power? It doesn't. I think great branding right now is moving away from storytelling into a position of conversations. Loyalty happens when I feel understood, when I feel heard, when you've taken my perspective into account. I want to know that I'm a part of the conversation with you as the buyer. So what we find tactically are things such as more chatbots on websites, but they're no longer bots. Great brands are now moving away from just bots to real humans behind the chat. That all of a sudden that chat goes to the CEO's text message on the phone and the CEO replies directly. That's pretty powerful stuff. I would be 100% loyal to a brand that actually gave me a quick conversation back and forth and solved a problem for me.
Yeah, I concur. I mean, Google is doing it now. I had an issue with my email the other day and I actually had a human being chatting, walking me through, not just pasting links to, you know, FAQ pages, but actually listening and reading between the lines to what I was saying. And that's important. And for a nearly a trillion dollar company, and that's a powerful brand. So Apple does the same thing. You know, you get them on the phone and computer's out of warranty, but they see that I have 15 Apple devices between me and my family, and they're like, oh yeah, we'll definitely take care of this guy. They see the LTV of that customer and they're thinking, it's not over yet. The guy's still alive and kicking, so he's going to buy another product down the road. And it's a shame that some brands don't get that.
No, I agree.
You know, but whatever.
Again, yeah, branding is a relationship. Loyalty is all about relationship, right? And business is a relationship and not a transaction. And yet we expect that we can be transactional with our customers and our prospects. And I think that's where brands go wrong. And so great brands really decide that they're going to create conversations with their messaging, that they're going to create opportunities for engagement every step of the way. And that's where loyalty comes into play. I'm going to be loyal to you if I feel heard and I feel understood.
I concur. So Kate, if listeners want to get a hold of you to enhance their brand, what's the best way they could do that?
Well, first off, you can check out my website. You know, you can check out katedeleo.com. It'll be in the show notes. Feel free to reach out to me. There's going to be a ton of information too out there on my book, which is launching in July of 2022. And it's called Muting the Megaphone. Stop telling stories and start having conversations. Just what we talked about. So that is really just a 100-page fast and furious brand guide of, I actually walk you through the tactics of how to actually write the brand step by step. So if you're looking for how to and how do I put pen to paper to do this, that is a great resource for you. Secondly, if you follow Rob on LinkedIn and you're listening today, you can find me on LinkedIn. I would love to hear from you. Send me a message. Please add me, follow me, connect with me. If you have a brand question, send it my way.
Excellent. All right. I think they'll do that. Well, I appreciate your insights, Kate, your time. And
thank you.
A lot of good stuff there. If our listeners felt that they got value from the show, we would appreciate a 5-star review on your favorite podcast streaming service. That's how we grow. Please share this and other podcast episodes at theloyaltyminute.com. Enjoy.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for your next edition of The Loyalty Minute.